The sands of time inexorably proceed with haste. And thus it is today that 2 weeks ago we were preparing to celebrate the most glorious and wonderful night of the vigil of Easter, the Lucernarium, where the light of Christ is blessed, and the water, which is now gone because everyone has taken it. The rest of it will be mixed in with the concrete for the new front door and the new pavement outside, along with many holy metals for protection to this shrine and parish. But already it's been 2 weeks, and there is yet much more of the glory of the risen Christ, of the experiences of the first apostles, of the disciples, of the women, that we have yet to experience in the readings of the liturgy of Most Holy Mother of the Church. And so the gospel of today in particular is a continuation of that gospel, which we would have had today were it be another year, which is one of the most beautiful episodes in all of the New Testament. As we saw already last week, it was the first Easter Sunday, and St. Luke, the evangelist, who's here writing, and he's the one who tells us all about this, he was one of the two, though he's not named in the actual account, but he is the one who tells us. And the other disciple, who is a relative of Christ, St. Joseph of Cleophas, whose wife's feast, St. Mary of Cleophas, we celebrated this week. They had decided to get away from the rest of the mourning crowd who had not yet experienced the resurrected Christ. They couldn't take the sorrow anymore, so they decided to go. One of them, we don't know which, had a villa outside of Jerusalem in the little village of Emmaus. And it has nothing to do with rodents, by the way. Emmaus, that's the way it is said correctly. And as they were traveling, talking and grieving, perhaps crying even, all of a sudden, our Lord approaches them, but they are not allowed to recognize him, the risen and glorified body of Christ can change appearances to look like anyone else, just like the saints and angels can now for us, to us. And so he pretends that he doesn't know what he's saying. They're amazed. And then they tell him just a little bit, because they can only understand a little bit, just as you and I can only understand a little bit. And then he begins to explain all the scriptures, the whole Old Testament, from Moses, that is from Genesis, all the way to the Psalms and the prophets, David and the prophets, all the way to the last book of the Old Testament, the two books of Maccabees. And they are amazed at what they're hearing. And as they hear it, they still do not recognize him, but their hearts are filled with a heat, a warmth, a joy that they do not understand, that they have never experienced. And then he pretends that he's going on. Now, St. Gregory the Great, in one of his sermons about this, says that our Lord was not being dishonest, because God cannot be dishonest. He was just trying to test them, putting them to the test, as he always puts you and me to the test. So he pretended to be going on, while he was intending, very much so, to stay. So they are the ones, it's up to them. The ball is in their court. Oh no, sir, you cannot go. It is dangerous, it is dark. There are many thieves and marauders on these roads. And so he agrees and he stays with them. And then they prepare their evening supper. And while they are at supper, he does something that he had only done once before in their sight, on Holy Thursday. And this is very clear, and it was very clear to the Christians, the Catholics of that time, as they are, or should be, today. He begins by celebrating the second Mass. The term for the Mass, for the Eucharist, which was coined by St. Luke under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, was the breaking of the bread, the fractio panis, which we still have. It is the communion rite of the Mass, whether it be the old Mass or the new Mass. The fractio panis, the breaking of the bread. That is why the priest is instructed not to break the host until it is time for communion. Now, for a while there, all these priests that were trying to be so very relevant and with it, because they knew it, they probably had the right brand of jeans underneath their vestments. I doubted that they had a cassock on, but that's their tough luck. The cassock is the vestment par excellence of the priest of God. They began to break the bread at the consecration. He took the bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take ye all of this and eat it, this is my body." Well, that is incorrect, the way they did it. And the church told them very, very quickly, and especially St. John Paul II corrected it. The breaking of the bread is the actual communion rite. He breaks it in order to give it to the apostles, and then to the disciples, and to all the other faithful, including the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was there. Of course, she is here today in a very special way, and this, her shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary of Fatima. It is Fatima Day of the month of April. And you are blessed to be able to receive, by the graciousness of the Church, on this day, here in this shrine, in front of this miraculous image of Our Lady, to obtain a plenary indulgence. And if you don't know what a plenary indulgence is, I'm not going to tell you. Look it up for yourselves, because you need to learn your Catholic faith. And that is part of the Catholic faith. And so today, you may earn a plenary indulgence. And so at that moment, at the breaking of the bread, they recognized him. And then they rushed back, even though it was dark, though there were thieves and marauders and whatever. They rushed back to Jerusalem, to the cenacle, to the actual house of St. Joseph of Cleophas and St. Mary of Cleophas and St. John Mark and Joseph and Simon and Judas. As the scriptures say, the brothers of Christ who were not from the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the ever Virgin Mary. And it's in the scriptures. If you read it, if you learn it, if you understand it, as you should. And then all of a sudden, as they were telling them, "You should see what happened to us." Well, they also said, "The Lord has appeared here. He has come." And then all of a sudden, he is in their midst. The doors are locked, the windows are locked, there are thick 3 or 4 feet wide walls they built in those days. And he's there. And he shows them his hands and his feet, the wounds of his hands and his feet. And they're afraid, even though they already had seen him. "Do not be afraid. I'm not a ghost. I have flesh and blood. Can you not see? You want to touch it?" And of course, he said that to Thomas. "I will not believe unless I put my finger in his nail marks and my hand in his side." "Go right ahead, Thomas." And then, just to prove to them even more that he was not a ghost, he says, "Little children," and that is a term that was used originally. I don't care about these ridiculous translations that we are given today. "Little children, do you have anything here to eat?" Because a ghost does not eat. He is not a ghost. He's a living person. He is Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, gloriously, but risen from the dead. And then he begins to explain again the Old Testament, from Moses all the way down. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, as we also need for that to happen to us yet. And then this pericope of St. Luke ends, thus it is written that the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God made man, would suffer, and he indeed has, and rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance, and this is the reason why he has done all this, to save us from our sins. Repentance. We must repent of our sins. And that's necessary too to gain the plenary indulgence. That is why confession is necessary within 7 days of the actual indulgence. Before or after. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And this you are to preach to the ends of the world, beginning with Jerusalem. And then, in the original Hebrew and Greek, he would have called them apostolai. You are apostles of these things, witnesses, because that is what the word apostle means. Witness of the life, death, and resurrection of the Son of God and the Son of Mary, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What are you waiting for? Repent and be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.